Hey, bats, kiddos, Joker here, and you're listening to the Bob Culture Podcast.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Bob Culture Podcast, very special Boardwalk Beatdown edition. We're getting ready for the big event down in Atlantic City. Cannot wait. And I am just super stoked right now to be joined by a really big name in professional wrestling. Of course, we have a former two-time CZW heavyweight champion, Wire champion, a BCW heavyweight champion. The list goes on and on. What a resume. And of course, my pick for the first ever Saw standalone wrestling heavyweight champion, Mr. Joe Gacy. Joe, thanks for a few minutes. How are you, man?
Hey, man, I'm good. Thank you for having me.
No, dude, it's my pleasure. It's an honor. It really is. We're stoked. You know, you got a huge match coming up at Boardwalk Beatdown. I cannot wait for that match. A lot of big names on the card. A big convention coming up. It's like a wrestling paradise, man. I can't wait.
Pretty awesome. I don't think I've ever seen anything like this in Atlantic City before. So I think it's going to be really great.
It's going to be great. I was just down there the other day. There's posters everywhere. You're driving down. It's on the billboard.
Awesome.
It's wrestling heaven, man. So before we get into the match and all that stuff, man, I got to ask you the Joe Gacy origin story. Was there a toxic waste spill and then Joe Gacy was formed? Or how did this whole wrestling thing start, man? Were you a fan as a kid? How did this all start?
Yeah, I mean, easy answer or quick answer, I guess, is probably just like anybody else. I was a fan of wrestling as a kid. I started watching. I was a little young, I watched wrestling. I started watching wrestling maybe around 94.
Okay.
I was a little young, so like, it took me a little while to get into like ECWs and stuff like that. So like the first thing I saw was WWF at the time.
Sure.
I have an older brother, so like obviously as a kid, like we've watched WWF Monday Night Raw and like pushed our bed together and
nice
threw each other around.
Yeah, that's
so
awesome.
From there, kind of just evolved. I guess a lot of people when they get older grow out of it, but the ones that don't are usually the ones that are either a long time like fans or they end up doing it. So that's kind of what happened with me.
Hey man, no, that's a great story, man. And I mean, you're crushing it. You're killing it out there, man. Did you have any favorite guys growing up?
I mean, the first person that really resonated with me was Mick Foley. The first version of him I ever saw as a kid was Mankind. As I grew up, I was becoming more obsessed with him. I learned, who Cactus Jack was, Dude Love and all that. So like Mankind was as soon as his debut, actually, like the promos and everything when they started playing like on TV, I was upset like immediately.
Yeah.
When he finally showed up, I was all about it. So he was always my favorite. He honestly was originally the reason I wanted to do this.
Why am I not surprised by that answer? That's such a good answer for you. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Of course. Hey, real quick, we got to ask, where did you train? Who did you train with? And then how did you get involved with some of these indie promotions like Standalone Wrestling, CZW? How did that all start?
So I originally actually trained with CZW. I was brought into the school because at the time my brother, he actually worked with a guy that used to work for CZW named Lobo. Lobo was like one of the original guys that pretty much started up the company.
Cool.
So when we joined, it was ran at the time by a guy named John Zandig. So he pretty much brought me and actually like a bunch of my friends in to his school. So from there we trained under him, a guy named John Dahmer. So we basically, started training that way. And I basically trained for maybe six months before I had my first like real match. I had my first real match in, it was June, maybe 2007, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wow. Good for you, man.
Yeah. Thank you. That's it was high school. It was in front of, like, almost 1,000 people, which was crazy to me at the time. So that's, you know, basically how it started from there.
That's awesome, man. Was that, did it come naturally?
Yeah, I mean, as far as, like, being in front of people, I guess you could say it came naturally for me. As a kid, I was always fun to always want to be the center of attention. So,
yeah.
Obviously, pro wrestling is the best thing for me to do.
Nah, man, and like I said, you're crushing it, man. We always have a good time seeing you. We saw you in some good matches, of course, with Standalone Wrestling against Danny Burch, James Storm. We'll talk about that in a little bit, man, but you're always stealing the show, you know?
Thank you. I appreciate you saying so.
Nah, for sure, man. Hey, like I said, you're my pick, man. I'm not putting any money down. I actually would be down in Atlantic City, so maybe I will, but I digress. Yeah, but yeah, I've seen you a few times. You know, we're always very, very impressed. How would you, you know, I know how I would describe it, but how would you describe, like, your style in the ring?
The first thing that comes to my head would be adaptable, but I don't know if that really would make sense. I like to think I can do a little bit of everything. I like to think no matter who I'm in there with, I can pretty much go toe-to-toe with them. So no matter what style they do, I can do it too.
Dude, that's a great answer. Adaptable. That's perfect.
Thank you. If not adaptable, maybe like a Smash Mouth style, if that makes any sense. More of like a striker. I'll throw some, like, you know, submissions holds in there also. But then I could do agile stuff.
Totally.
A little bit of everything.
For sure. No, that's good. Yeah, you just have us going, ooh, and oh, you know, the whole time. So you get those big hits in there, man. And something I noticed that, you know, was the Momentum show for Standalone Wrestling. We saw you versus James Storm. You coming out with, like, the gear with the mask and then the lights on the mask. Dude, that was so awesome. What's the, you know, I see that you're, like, into horror movies and stuff like that. What's the inspiration behind all that stuff? I thought it was awesome.
So I'll be honest, it started as one idea that kind of spiraled into another. Originally, I was going to do the mask for big matchups. I still wear it occasionally. I started with just the yellow mask with some stuff written on it, and then it evolved into, at one point, I did a big show for Combat Zone Wrestling. So we did the light-up mask. It's kind of like a special thing for the big show. So I bring out the light-up mask every now and then for big matches. But the whole idea behind the mask, I know a lot of people with me associate it that I'm a big horror movie fan. So they associate it with, you know, just being a horror movie fan. In the beginning, my idea about the plastic mask, and it's my fault for not really conveying that across to people, was that it was, I was a parody of what pro wrestling, or how pro wrestlers are walking around with masks and having fake smiles. And being nice, like being nice to you, but stabbing you in the back. In a way, that's kind of how it kind of spiraled in my head.
That's interesting. That's deep, man. No, that's really good. That's interesting. I'm sitting here thinking, like, oh, it's like a Jigsaw meets, like, you know, I don't know. But no, that's a way better answer, man. That's really interesting.
Maybe I'll have to explain that a little better next time I get a chance to.
Nah, dude, that's really cool. But I mean, the first thing we saw, you're like, oh, he's got a mask now? Like, this is awesome. It was definitely a big hit. Dude, let's talk about being a champion. I mean, I read a little bit of the resume, but the list goes on and on. Impressive resume. You've been doing this for a while. Lots of gold, man. You've been holding the strap for a while. No, dude. Really, really impressive. I wanted to ask you, I mean, what's it like to be a champion, to be the guy that holds the gold? And what does it mean to you to be a champion?
It's a big deal. I like to think being the champion of a company means that you are the face of the company. So realistically, you having, you know, the heavyweight championship or world championship or whatever you want to call it for that company means that that company has that much stake in you to let you be basically the face and representative of them. So to me, having a title for any company is a big deal, especially if you get a title or a championship for a bigger company. I mean, honestly, that's a huge deal. I know the first time I won the CZW World Heavyweight Championship, it was kind of surreal because when I first, like, I was a big CZW fan before I started training there. So I was a big fan of, you know, all the guys that were there, and I knew who everyone was, and I'm like, oh, this guy's the heavyweight champion. And honestly, at the time, I never would have thought years down the line that's going to be me. I'm going to have that belt one day. And so for me to have it, it was kind of, I mean, in a nutshell, accomplishing one of my dreams, one of my goals I set out to do. So for me, that was a big deal. So, I mean, in general, of any heavyweight title or any belt from any company, I think it's definitely a big deal, and it's a huge compliment from the company as a whole.
But hey, man, you do have a hill to climb. There is a big kind of like tournament going on for this standalone wrestling heavyweight championship. You are going in the ring with Ryan Gallione. We, of course, have DeMarcus Cain. We've seen him a few times. And new NXT signee, of course, Matt Riddle. Dude, I mean, you're starting in a fatal four-way match, and then it's going to go to another match later in the night. What do you think of these opponents, and what's your – I mean, if I don't know if you want to give it away, but what's your strategy going into this one?
Well, I'll give you this. It was actually announced today. I guess you weren't aware of it yet, that Matt Riddle will not be in the match anymore, unfortunately.
Okay.
So now replacing him is a guy named MJF. He's actually the current CZW heavyweight champion. So now it's going to be me, him, Ryan Gallione, DeMarcus Cain. Like you said, I pretty much have to change my game plan.
Curveball.
So, I mean, the only good thing for me is that MJF is the smallest guy in the match, but you also have to be careful because he's also the sneakiest.
When you go to a standalone wrestling show, you're going to see, of course, Joe Gacy in the main event. That's all I got to say.
Well, I appreciate you saying so.
Nah, man. Of course, like I said earlier, you've been in some big-time matches. I've seen you with James Storm, Danny Burch. What was it like working with those kind of guys or any other guys?
Fantastic. Honestly, being in the ring with Danny Burch is something I've wanted to do for a long time.
Great match. Great match.
Thank you. And when Standalone told me it was going to happen, I got super excited. And I actually heard he also got super excited. So it was a really good experience. It was definitely top five on my list of things I've ever done in wrestling. I was glad I got to do it before, you know, he got brought up to NXT. And then just same thing with James Storm, great experience. A match I never thought I would get, but I ended up doing. I used to, see him on TNA back, a couple of years ago, so I was always a huge fan of him. Beer Money Inc. was one of my favorite tag teams at the time when he was doing it.
That's awesome.
So it was a really good experience. It was a great time.
Really cool. And I got to ask this, sorry for all the cliche questions, but got to get him in there. Any dream matchups or, opportunities, anyone you want to fight, in the Indies, NXT, Impact, any other dream matches? Or who's in your top five? Yeah.
I'll give you my top five. Unfortunately, number one will never happen because he is not able to wrestle anymore.
Okay.
But in a perfect world, if I had a time machine, my number one will be William Regal.
Wow, good answer.
He's my number one pick. He's the guy I would love to have a match with.
Awesome.
As far as anyone else right now, I have wrestled Adam Cole in the past, but I would love to wrestle him at this point in our careers. I think that would be great.
I'd pay to see that.
Obviously he's where he is. I think I've gotten a lot better since last time we blocked up, so that would be something I'd love to do. Let's see. Matt Riddle was on my list. That got, switched up on me, which, great for him, obviously, but hopefully one day in the future I'll get that match.
Yeah, they're keeping you on your toes with that one. You had to change up your strategy, a little curveball there. That's all right, man. That's all right.
Curveball.
Yeah. And real quick, man, I got to ask you this one. What does the future hold for Joe Gacy? What are your career goals?
Career goals, immediate career goals would be to keep climbing the tiers of, wrestling. I want to get into more of the more broad companies, more of the bigger companies. I would love to get a contract somewhere, be it Evolve, Ring of Honor, or thrown it out there, WWE, of course. That's You know?
Yeah, man.
I would say that's my ultimate goal is to get there.
Hey, dude, well, you're definitely on the right track. I mean, you steal the show every time we see you. You got a big fan base. We're stoked to see you. Of course, at Boardwalk Beatdown. You know, obviously, if you're, you know, hanging around the conventions, feel free to stop by the Bob Culture Podcast table. You know, we'll talk to you for a little bit.
I will be at the convention, so I will definitely come by.
Yeah, and I heard there's going to be some T-shirts and masks and all that good stuff.
Yep, I will have a bunch of goodies for anyone that wants to come by and say hello and maybe pick something up.
Joe, thank you for a few minutes. Of course, good luck with your match on Saturday night. We'll be cheering. We'll be cheering for you, and hopefully, you'll be raising some gold at the end of the night.
Well, I can only hope. Thank you for the confidence.
All right, no, of course, man. Thank you for always entertaining us. We appreciate a few minutes. Thanks.
Thank you, man.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's Joe Gacy on the Bob Culture Podcast. Of course, check him out. Boardwalk Beatdown this Saturday, August 25th in Atlantic City at the Claridge. We have a huge show, a huge convention. It's going to be crazy. It's, like I said, wrestling heaven, wrestling paradise. Make sure you get down there, and we'll see you there. Peace. Hey, guys. Thanks for checking out this episode of the Bob Culture Podcast. Don't forget to support the show on patreon.com/Bob Culture Podcast for some great incentives. I'd like to give a shout-out to my patrons Jay Crow, Shannon Cruz, and of course Mike and Michelle Vermillion from Sledgepad Innovations. Sledgepad is the bass drum dampening system used by national acts like Pink, Goo Goo Dolls, Cher, Collective Soul, and a whole bunch more. Check them out at sledgepad.com. And of course, if you're a fan of the show, please subscribe on YouTube, check us out at podbean.com, and leave me a review at iTunes.